Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Blue. I am your host, Louis Petrone. Well, it's been another crazy week. It's been a week where things have occurred which surprised me, and some of those things that I am going to share with you this evening will surprise you. Before we get started, however, the number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. You are welcome to telephone me. You want to chit-chat. You can ask me questions, agree with me, disagree with me, whatever. It will be interesting. The number's there, time screen. If you'd like to, please do call me. All right, I'm going to start again this week with Syracuse University basketball. I'm compelled to do it because I know not only am I an alumnus of the university, but also I am a diehard Syracuse fan. And I know that many of you that listen to this Blog Talk radio show are diehard Syracuse fans. Also, your blood runs orange just as mine does. At this time last week, Syracuse was 25-0. All victories, no defeats. Since that time, we have played 3-game season. They beat us in a close game at Duke. And then last night, we played Maryland. Maryland had 12 defeats. We were lucky to win the game. We won by 2 points, another close game. It seems like Syracuse, my friends, played the same level as the competition. We've had no blowouts here that I can recall. My body, my heart can't take this game. I need to see Syracuse blow somebody out because whether we play an exceptionally good team, exceptionally poor team, it's a close battle every time. I can't take it. And I don't know 40-odd years. And that was the time I can't believe what happens. So that's the story. And this Saturday we play Virginia, who has only lost one game in the ACC, and we have lost two. It's going to be a hell of a game. Okay, we live in a crazy world. I say this every week. I write so many times in my columns and in my blog. Let's start with something called Sandy Hook. Do you remember Sandy Hook in Newtown, Connecticut? You're not going to believe me in Sandy. I'm going to share with you live in the cemetery at Sandy Hook. We know they are angels. They sit with God in heaven. Whoever their God may be, they sit with God in heaven. Why do their parents still suffer at 30 years? Why do the clergymen, especially the priest who had to bury them, why does he suffer? Why does the whole community suffer? Why does the whole state suffer? Why does everyone worry about this? This was a phony. It never happened. 2.5 years to put this scenario together, and they pulled off the phony thing once again, merely to get the people enraged so legislation is passed to control guns more effectively. That's what's going on. And I gave you 3 quotes from 3 different people. This is picking up steam. It's an insanity. Okay, now let's move on. We're going to go now. I come here with the farm. I love this farm bill. So the governor signed it. I think just a week ago Friday signed it. It's only about 10 days old. And I got to say, it's good in a lot of respects and bad in a lot of respects. And I got to say shame on the Congress, shame on the Senate, shame on the President for some of the things that are in this bill. They're wrong. And the thing, I've discussed it, I've written about it in a newspaper column. I'm just going to zero in on a couple things. I believe in transparency. We must know what's going on. No one can do that. Well, farmers and financial. You know, and I know, that today there are no longer any farms. There are no longer any family farms. 6 major corporations control 90% of the farming in the United States today. I've written about them, talked about them, named them. Companies like Monsanto, Mega, Agri Corporation, Mega, Big, MEGA, Agri, AGRI, Agriculture Corporation, making billions of naturals a year. These big companies are the farmers of today. The farm bill gave subsidies to the farmers 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, who needed money. And they continue under this new farm law to give in the form of corporate insurance, which the government pays 52% for, and it's the payout in the form of a subsidy now. They pay out these people subsidies every year, in effect, that they don't need. These are the six of the richest corporations in the world. But the system is to give first money, and you pay up money if there's a crop failure, the tomatoes grow, the beans spoil, the strawberries go down. In the market, the price goes down. Capitalism, they're covered. They get paid. I wish I had a boon like this when I ran my law practice. It would have been helpful. Anyone in business like that, any businessman, would know if he had a loss, that's covered. We cover the assets of the big corporations today, and it's wrong. That isn't what bothers me so much. What bothers me, listen clearly, my friends, under the new law, the law bars anyone knowing who the corporations are benefits. In other words, they get a subsidy, a corporate insurance benefit, etc. Corporations, we are far from knowing their names. The law bars these corporations from being listed. And I think that's terrible. We don't know who's picking up, who's getting the money. Because I'm going to tell you something else. You can trace money afterwards. I did a show on this a couple of weeks ago where I spelled out how much is being spent by the blocks, boots on. I've got my overcoat on, my scarf, my gloves, my hat, I'm wearing a briefcase, and all of a sudden I got it back to the snowball. I turned around and watched the circuit laughing. So what? I mean, these things go on in snow in the North. Well, anyhow. They're all the dean of school who says he saw this. Gotta say, he said it was a 13-year-old. The 13-year-old, understand, never been in trouble before. First time arrested. I'm going to explain how he was arrested. And he has no gang affiliation, which is big in Chicago. Most of these kids, their badges belong to gangs. They've got to belong. The kid said, I didn't throw the snowball. Somebody else, I don't know, came out of the crowd. And this is what the other kids say, too. He didn't throw the snowball. And the police officer was lying. It didn't hit him in the arm. It hit the car. We all saw it. Well, the officer was mad. This shows disrespect to authority. And what did he do? He arrested this kid on a felony. A 13-year-old boy for bonus aggravated battery to a piece of, I think, the stupidest thing I ever heard is that the local police enforcement say, use your energy for drug dealing, murder, speed, robbery. 13-year-old kid, just put through that snowball. It's ingest. You don't carry it as far as kid with a felony, especially if it's going up properly, has no record. By the way, the team is on the side of the police officer. Apparently, he suspended the boy for 5 days already. What I'm going to show you now is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. I mean, there are so many disgusting things in life. So probably the most, it's close to it, it's bad stuff. Do you ever hear of human blood farmers? Human blood farmers. They're like vampires. They live in the United States. But India is different from the United States. People do not voluntarily donate blood to the blood bank Tabla, where they have a lot of blood here in the United States because we voluntarily donate. They don't do it in India. So here's what happens. I'm going to talk about a farmer, Paul Max. I don't remember his name. That I have Paul Max. And he was siphoning blood for profit. What he would do with this, he's a farmer, he had his cows, he had his beef, but part of the barn was barricaded off, and in there, in one instance, he had 17 men, and they were all laying on top. He had the most sophisticated equipment that could be purchased. Yes, he lived before in a ship barn. He had the best metal equipment inside. And, you know, the troops came down and were in their arms. And 2 to 3 times a week, a pint of blood removed from each of these gentlemen. Their arms looked like they were so fat, full of punctures, full of holes. They were on the verge of death. They were gray. They were emaciated. Their eyes were cloudy, like they were druggy. Bad situation. Well, they were found, and they were taken to a hospital. By the way, they were taken to a hospital to get to the money, and the money's going to check you, too. And the doctor at the hospital said they had to be returned to health slowly. You couldn't do it right away. Their hemoglobin levels were so low that physically they had two blood. Now, the hospital equipment was great. Here's how the money. The donors, those guys living on the cot, by the way, they were immigrants. They were looking for a job. They had a place to go. They needed money. These were basically immigrants from adjoining countries. They got $3 a pint for every pint of blood taken out of them. By the way, once they were in that farm, they never left that farm. This was their home until they died. And when they died, by the way, the guy that him, as they were dying, he put them on a bus 50 miles. The farmer was paid by the hospitals $20 a pint, blood banks in the hospital in India. $20 a pint. He's got a, for common blood types, he's got a $17 profit. He's making big money over there. And was a rare type of blood, he was paid up to $150 a pint. The farmer got arrested. He got 9 months in jail. Big deal. The bloodsucker gets 9 months in jail. Each of the victims survived of this episode, but it took them a month to get even what I just said, I think. Indian hospitals are very crowded. They have a shortage of blood all the time. Each hospital has a blood bank in it. Where does game, thought, plan come up to have people taken in by a farmer and the blood sucked out of them and keep them in effect? As you keep them in prisoners, you take their blood as long as you can and then sell it. It was the brainchild. Listen to what I'm going to say. I'm Catholic. It was the brainchild of a Catholic priest, a Father Joe. He runs one of the hospitals. That is owned, by the way, by the Catholic diocese in India. There's a Catholic diocese as a bishop, and this priest is running this hospital and this blood bank for the diocese, and he came up with this plan to help get blood. I think it's terrible. I think it's hypocrisy. I think it's the church going bad again. But be that as it may, he said there was justification for this. The good priest, he's proud of this. He doesn't like it, but he says it has done. Because even doing this, we don't have enough to satisfy our needs. The good priest, though, facetiously, who needs blood in the operation or they're going to die. On the other hand, I am exploiting donors. I know the system exploits donors. I have to choose between two evils. I have decided that the less of the two evils is to take care of the patients on the operating. I don't buy it. I mean, I went to Catholic grammar school, high school, college. I studied. We had religious courses in college. It took 8 years of religion, which, let me tell you, was heavy. Philosophy classes, studied all the great Catholic theologians and all that their stuff. And I want to point out also that the patients in the hospital pay the diocese for care. All right? So if the hospital is going to get ahead financially, this is Lewis talking, and is going to survive economically, they need the blood for the patient to live so they can do the operation. They could really care less about those poor people in the barn getting blood sucked out of them 2 or 3 times a week. Remember, body parts are worth a lot of money today. A kid goes for about $150,000 on the black market worldwide. Body parts are worth a lot of money. And this is what's happening. There's a market out there, but I want to share with you the blood market. either. It was in the news. Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel said he wants to downsize the military by 13% because we're out of force. We're no longer in Iraq, we're no longer in Afghanistan. We don't need soldiers. My God, I don't agree with this man. We may be out of force, but we're on the to two more wars. Russia's on our ass. China's on our end. We talk to these people, but they closed in on us. We don't know when the Middle East is going to blow up in another place. People like Senator McCain and Senator Graham have senators in all over the place to save money. I got to tell you, I've lived in several wars now. I am a history major. I'm a student. I know of no war that did not require, I don't know what the machinery, what the weapons were at the time. They all require at some point boots on the ground, soldiers on the ground. So when Hegel uses the argument, well, you know, he complains how he's sophisticated, we don't have the military, and limit pay rate. Well, in a few minutes, I'll talk to you about food stamps in the military, you see how stupid that is. I believe this. I believe we spend too much money on the military as it is, but I am going to show you where good amount, and a big amount, is wasted, and it's going to shock. Let's talk about the military-industrial complex. Eisenhower warned us about it. I want to talk about today, these corporations, big corporations, okay, and you're going to find a lot of waste, graft, and systemic, as they call it, bribery involved. The United States spends the most money of any nation in the world on military equipment. Last year, $712 billion. That's for, if you take all the nations in the world, we spent 46.5% of the money that they all did on military equipment. Now, China's number two country in the world spending a lot of money. We spent $712 billion last year. China spent $100 billion. And they only spent 3.5% of all the total. Russia's not even number three. They're number five in their military spending. And we're afraid of them. They're not money all the time for military spending. Something's got to be wrong. And I'll tell you what it is. Lack of financial accountability, outright fraud, intentional concealment, and so forth. Here's what happened. The biggest budget, biggest part of the budget of the United States is for the Department of Defense and the Pentagon, military spending. At the end of the fiscal year, if some of the money has been used up, it is not given back to the United States Treasury by defense. And they've got accounting staff to do this, but they broke the books. Why is this upsetting? One, there's a law. The federal law says there must be an annual audit of all government departments. The Pentagon doesn't make sense. And do you know in the last several years with this waste of money they're hiding, nobody knows where it goes? It totaled $8.5 billion, $8.5 billion of money nobody knows where it went. It went to the military complex, the military-industrial complex, and it's never been accounted for. My good friend, our national debt is $17 trillion. If we had that $8.5 billion down, it would be down automatically. But nobody pays any attention to this, and no one makes any noise, which brings me to military families. Are you aware that military families need food stamps today to survive more than ever before? In the year 2015, military families received $5 more than they had in 2012, okay, and more than any other year. The increase in the military and the families receiving stamps has gone up just last year alone. The commissary for the military buys the foodstuffs. $104 million was spent at the cash register in the form of food stamps. Now, Hagel wants to cut housing allowance and paying the military, where some of our soldiers need food stamps to survive. While they're in Afghanistan getting shot at, the wives need food stamps to feed the family back in the United States. The House of Representatives cut by $40 billion food stamps. Then the final bill is $8 billion over 5 years. That's going to affect these military families to the tune of $90 a month. for the next 5 years. You know, I don't understand these people. Our congressmen cry, yell, got to take care of our boys, military. They're doing a wonderful job. Get in the back. They are screwing them. Okay. We're running out of time, so let me talk about something else. Isn't this great stuff I come up with? I love this stuff. I've got more here, but I don't have the time to share it with you tonight. Let me say this to you. I want to mention my book again. As you know, and if you didn't, I'll have to tell you. The first time, I recently had a book published 2 months ago, my first book, The World of